The following episode may contain explicit language. Listener discretion is advised. Today's show is sponsored by Blue Durango Iced Tea and the Atlanta Coffee Supply Group, Atlanta's premier full-service distributor of hand-roasted coffee and premium iced tea, brewing equipment and supplies for the hospitality and food service industry. You've been hearing me talk about Lake House Coffee for weeks now in these sponsored reads, and while I'm drinking it during the show, they also make Blue Durango Iced Tea. Did you listen to the July 17th episode I did with Jonathan Silverman? We drank that iced tea. It was awesome. As I said before, you might already be enjoying these products. Do you go to places like Wahoo, South City Kitchen, Gusto, and Dantana's? Dude, Gusto, I just interviewed that guy. That's gonna be great. If you're a proprietor in the restaurant or food service industry, reach out to them right now. Tell them I send you. Say, hey, I want to start carrying Lake House Coffee and Blue Durango Iced Tea because they're great products and it's a local freaking brand. Tell them the Atlanta Podcast sent you. Hey, and if you're just a regular person, you can order this stuff. My friend Steven ordered a bunch of coffee from the website. Go to lakehousecoffee.com and check it out and learn more about them. That's lakehousecoffee.com. To the Atlanta Podcast. I am your host, Matt B. Davis. Welcome back to the show. Hey guys, I'm doing a little something they call batching today. So it's Monday, and I've already put up the Wyatt Roscoe episode. And now I'm recording the intro for the Sam Nebel Good Wipes episode. So you're hearing this on Wednesday. If something amazing happened in the last 48 hours that I don't mention, that's why. But let's try something a little just to see if this works. Can you believe that thing Trump said today? You can leave a review on iTunes. You can also go to Patreon and donate now. I'm in the process of working out cooler stuff for Patreons. Like maybe you get to pick a guest. Maybe you get to show up and interview a guest. Maybe something cool for the future live events. I don't know what they are yet. Right now you can give $5 and it'll make you feel good because giving feels good. And it'll make me feel good because I could use the money. This website, this podcast, this content will always be free. Free, 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 free. Patreon's awesome because it supports creators like myself who want to connect you, the listener, to me, the Patreon, who enjoys this free content. And if we do it enough, then I won't even need advertisers. I do currently love my advertisers, but at some point we may not even need them. The only thing you'll ever pay for is coming to a live show, which is coming up in a mere 10 days, or by the time you hear this, a mere week and a day and stuff. So come to that live event. These are all clickable links in the iTunes and also on the website, atlantapodcast.com. If you're new, welcome to the show. We interview the famous, Atlanta famous, infamous, and anybody else I feel like talking to. Got someone you want to hear? Drop me a note. I'm Matt B. Davis on all platforms. On today's program, Sam Nebel, Good Wipes. You're going to learn pretty quickly what the Good Wipes are, I think. And he's an Atlanta businessman. He's down at the Switch Yards. This is my first trip to the Switch Yards. Very ATL thing happening. It's co-working. It's events. It's community. It's ATL. It's happening. It's downtown. All this talk about the Beltline. What about fucking some love for downtown, man? Downtown love. All right, let's get to it. Away we go.
You are a loud, obnoxious East Coast Jew. Do people tell you that often?
That is accurate. I think most people who are not Jewish would not say that to me, but people that are would and do.
Okay, you got to scoot slightly closer to me. For
cool.
This.
Love it.
And you don't even have to look at that. You can just look at me and we'll be good.
Nice. Awesome.
But we get along, the loud, obnoxious East Coast
Jews. Yeah, we get along.
I was in L.A.
People in on the floor
hate you.
Some do.
When I was, so I moved to L.A. Uh-huh. And I worked at this, you'll appreciate this, a startup, before the word startup was really thrown around.
Mm-hmm.
So 1999, .com 1.0.
Yeah, AOL, all that.
Company called People Support.
Mm-hmm.
So we were online tech support, or not tech support, customer service, right?
Mm-hmm.
You go to a website, you have a question, you're getting us, right? And I showed up and like entry level, customer service guy, but But then I kind of got promoted pretty quickly, and then kind of everybody hated me.
Uh-huh.
And this guy, Tony, who was like sort of like the cool HR camp counselor guy.
Yeah.
He was like...
Kind of like Toby from The Office.
Toby's like the horrible human resources
guy. Yeah, okay. This guy was
the cool version of that, right? And he was like, hey, man, here's the deal. Like, these people are just not on your speed. Because I didn't understand, right? I'd only lived in Boston and Atlanta.
Right.
He's like, you got to... Like, you're doing great.
Right.
But, like, it's not going to work out for you if you don't kind of dial it back.
Yeah.
I did not dial it back.
I was
fired shortly there afterwards.
Wow. After the promotion.
Well, I think, interestingly enough, I said that at one point to my boss. I said, why are you now have a problem with exactly what you promoted before? But it was a bunch of fucking 20-year-olds, and they were whatever. And a guy didn't like me and figured out a way to get me fired, and so I got fired.
I hate the young kids, the young ones.
You look pretty young, my friend.
29 and a half. So,
what age did you start this company?
24, I think, is when we decided. Either 24 or 25. I think 25 is when we decided that we wanted to start Good Wipes.
I was way too busy trying to figure out what the fuck life even was at 25.
Oh, I don't know.
But you found a way to like start a company, and that's kind of cool. But let's back up a little bit.
Let's back up.
Where did you grow up?
Orlando, Florida.
Were you a fan of O-Town?
I was a fan of O-Town.
Were you a fan?
Winter Park. I grew up Winter Park.
Were you a fan of the entire scene?
It's tough to say because I was in high school.
Okay.
So I'm not really sure if anyone thinks about that when they're growing up. I think a lot of people are like, oh, I love this. If you do whatever is good in the town, I don't know if you're going to the lake a lot, if you have a boat. I didn't because the hurricane like fucked everything
up. Did you play sports?
I did. Basketball.
Okay.
For my local JCC team. And in ninth grade, I made the high school team.
Right.
On the record.
You did make the high school team.
I made the ninth grade team.
Right.
Then when JV came around,
right,
I didn't take sports as seriously and I stopped growing. I was supposed to be the power forward.
Right.
And then I became guard size and I didn't have those skills at the time.
Yeah. I did not make the JV team.
Uh-huh.
I know you're surprised to hear that.
I am. Brothers,
but the truth is, I didn't want it.
Yeah,
it was I knew.
We had to find out that we didn't want it, but we didn't want it.
No, but I mean, like, did you have a very traditional Jewish mom?
Kind of. I mean, yeah, I would say yes. Like, her parents are from Brooklyn and New Jersey, and she grew up in New Jersey and stuff like that.
I meant just being
like in the house. No, and she doesn't have like an accent or anything like
that. No, like for me, it was like my mother was like, "Oh, you got to be well rounded,
right?
Play sports,
right?
Like this is what the colleges want." Like,
none of that. And if that was happening, I wasn't listening. So I was during the time I was the bad one.
But see, that's the good life lesson is that I did it. I went and tried out, didn't make it.
Uh-huh.
And then it was like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Because I was crushed.
Right.
The day you go up to the sheet of paper to see if your name's,
yep,
to see if your name's on there and it's not.
And it's not there.
And it was like, I wasn't fucking doing this for me anyway.
I got cut early from JV. And so I went with my friends and I was like, all right, I at least made it this far. And then I look and it was after the first try. I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me.
Right.
But, you know.
But that's a great life lesson. Don't ever go after what you don't fucking want to try to please somebody else.
Right. Right. I wanted it. But I didn't fully want it, though. And I think that's the real life lesson is if you have to decide if you really want it. And I was half-assed deciding. Didn't go to any of the, what is it, open court, what's it called?
I don't know.
Open, you know, where they let you like scrimmage and practice before and you do the workouts and shit like that. Are we allowed to curse? Is it kosher to curse in the terms of like, is it good for the audience? Do they like it? I don't want to over curse.
I have found that speaking of what we're just talking about, I find I do what's true for me.
Right.
And then
authenticity. Yeah.
They like it or they don't.
Yeah.
If you curse, great. If you don't curse, whatever. I don't go out of my way to curse or not curse.
Right. I'm kind of on the fence like that too.
Again, we were talking about podcasting. I don't know if you care about this.
I do.
But, I always put the little E up. Because a long time ago, someone complained that like, oh, I was listening with my kids and you cursed. So I'm like, oh, I'll put this little E up.
Right?
And supposedly, like, oh, iTunes will shut you down if you don't put the E up.
Right.
No one's paying attention to that.
Right.
Like, because I've forgotten it and whatever.
But I didn't even know what the E was. I guess I never noticed it before.
So it is...
like a parental advisor.
Right. And so it is a setting in your iPhone. Uh-huh. You can like turn that off. Huh. Like don't show anybody.
Yeah.
But here's what I also learned was that if you are explicit, they can't even find you. Like in India, for example.
Really?
So you just lost those listeners. And so between me and you, I stopped. I turned off the E because I don't want to lose those listeners.
Yeah.
Even if there's only five, I want them to find me.
We need the Indian market.
And if, well, this podcast, my obstacle podcast.
Sure.
And if iTunes says, I mean, maybe one day they fucking swing the hammer and I fucking feel horrible.
Right.
Maybe there's a warning. I don't know.
Right. Sometimes I feel like, candidly, that those types of companies don't really issue warnings that great. Or they just do whatever they do.
Well,
like,
no,
we deal with that with Amazon sometimes.
Well, no, but like we know that like, if you're trying to scam Google, Google will fucking.
Yeah.
Google does not fuck around.
Same with Amazon, yeah.
But to me, this is different.
Right.
But I do want to talk about that. Even though I want to sort of, I like to go, what do you call it? I like to go chronologically.
Yeah.
We're talking about Amazon, so let's get straight to that.
Sure.
When you launch a product, okay, is your thought process, well, we've got this website, but if people Google us and the first thing that pops us is Amazon, fuck it, we'll lose a few dollars if we get more money from those people. Like, how does that work?
The thought
for a what do you call it? A retail product? What do you call this?
A consumer product. Yeah, consumer product,
right.
Consumer packaged good, physical product. I think I could just answer if I were to go back in time what I would do.
Okay, let's do that.
The first thing I would focus on is I would just throw it on Amazon. To start.
Never even start with the...
I mean, you put your website up as a shell. I think...
Well, so people know you're legit.
So people know you're legit.
Right.
And you want to build it out, but just like, let's say without effort. Let's say we don't try on Amazon. We don't try on goodwives.com. You will get more sales automatically with no effort on Amazon. So it's kind of like that input-output thing. It's nice to be able to get some output without having
how
any
much
input.
Money do you
or lose, low
how input. Much money do you lose to them?
A lot.
Because
maybe, and I think it varies by product, okay. But maybe 50% they charge you.
What? 50%?
50% around, yeah.
How much
so
do you have to
lot,
sell
yeah.
to lose that, to like get a way better fucking deal?
There are many variables that we're working on now. Do we sell just one of these? Do we sell two of them at a higher price point? There are so many variables that we're constantly managing, especially in the Amazon channel. Like price, like what they charge you, like competition.
Amazon and Google both.
Mm-hmm.
What terms do you want to search well for?
Oh, like when someone types in, I'm looking for... we're doing pretty well on butt wipes. I mean, you want to do really well on flushable wipes, on wet wipes. This whole A9 algorithm, if you don't know, it's
like an 8-year-old when you said butt wipes.
Yeah.
Because
we do pretty well on that keyword.
That's great.
Yeah.
And don't you think?
I'm happy with it.
So
there's a lot of art and science to it.
Let's talk about it.
The science portion of it is we have butt wipes. It just is making it as simple as possible.
I'm almost giggling again.
Because I still don't understand it. So I'm trying to think of what the audience is going to think here. But if we have Good Wipes, flushable men's butt wipes in our title, that has allowed us to sell well when people type in butt wipes because they see the keyword. That's just one of the things that I know to be true.
My father.
It may not work all the time.
My father, 86, salesman all his life.
Mm-hmm.
I got the good Jew salesman genes from him.
Mm-hmm. It's important.
Even he, who knows nothing about the Google world, said, your product name, your business name should always be what you do.
Right.
Right?
I agree.
And
I
so agree. He was like, Obstacle Racing Media, that's what you do, isn't it? I go, yep. He's like, well, there you go.
That's my... It's
and
tough.
He learned that in the 60s or the 70s, whenever he started hustling.
It's traditional.
So Good Wipes, I don't really have to think about what that is. I might not know that it's for my butt.
Right.
Just on name.
Right.
I might think it's to clean a table, but probably not.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
So that's why we named it Good Wipes. Is I wanted to make sure that, and even though our brand is very aspirational, I think it's really important in a cluttered world where there are thousands of products on shelf or online or whatever, that you can quickly describe what the product is. So then even if you have to figure out more like good wipes, at least it primes you for wipes and wipes being good, because wipes a lot of times for adults have a negative connotation. So I'm obsessed with the name Good Wipes.
All right.
So I'm very happy about it.
So again, we're gonna go all over the place. I hope you all don't, over the hope place, you don't
yeah.
care.
I don't. Yeah.
Once upon a time,
mm-hmm.
The adult male.
Correct.
Me.
Yes.
Me.
Matt B.
Let's call me
Matt
the,
BD.
Let's call me the average adult male.
Right.
Somewhere in his 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Pooped
his pants.
No. We've all pooped our pants. Yeah. We can talk about that.
We have.
But somewhere in his 30s goes, you know what? I need to be smarter about my buying decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like to be uncomfortable during the day.
Right.
So I think I'm ready for a next level of wipe.
Right.
And either a bro tells you or you kind of figure out, right,
mm-hmm.
that you can buy these.
Mm-hmm.
I think we just called them flushable wipes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And like you get them in the baby aisle.
Right.
And they're 99 cents.
Right.
And it changes your life.
Right. Changes your life.
Completely.
100%.
Especially if you're like a traveling dude.
Yeah.
Right? I remember my nephew who worked with me one day, I brought them like into my office. Like,
right.
I had a place like this.
Uh-huh.
And but like in the mutual bathroom, I just went ahead and put mine because I was only sharing it with like two other people.
Right.
And he was like, "Oh my God, Matt, I'm so glad you brought this to the office." He was so thrilled.
Yeah.
Right?
That's how it happened.
Because he was the adult male getting into that age range of so that was once upon a time.
Right.
Right.
That's how it goes.
Right?
Yeah.
So who was the first to market, and then how did you get in the market? And we're going to talk about competition and all that
sure.
stuff. But like, what year did this like become a thing?
Right. So that's how we find the story goes, right?
Right.
That's how we started. Charlie and I met at Florida State. We didn't know each
Wait
other.
Wait a minute. You met at Florida State?
Florida State, yeah.
Did you know Deion Sanders?
We didn't.
Did you know?
I think we missed him by 15 or
20 years?
20 years, yeah.
Did you know? Hang on, don't let
yeah.
me see who comes after. This is how bad. See, if you had said Miami, there's a lot of guys
right.
with that name. FSU.
Charlie Ward. No, didn't know him.
Charlie Ward is before Deion. Nobody listening right now
right.
knows who Charlie Ward is. They know who fucking
Correct.
Deion is.
Yeah, no one knows Charlie Ward.
Did you know?
Except Charlie Ward, who I heard listens to this show.
Very possible. Yeah.
Peter Warwick, no.
Who?
Peter Warwick.
Don't know who he is.
Really good. Went to the great wide receiver, went to the Bengals, stole shoes, I think, from like a department store, and then career kind of stumbled after that. But I'm sure he's a good man now. So Peter Warwick, if you're listening, we got nothing but love for you over here. James Winston, I don't know who you're thinking of.
Oh, James would be
yeah.
a name.
Yeah.
But that's after you.
I was there when I stayed for an extra half semester.
Just to hang out with James Winston.
Yeah, exactly. And then we won the championship the year after that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you guys met.
Mm-hmm.
You're not brothers.
We're not brothers.
Okay.
Yeah. We're not. We were pledging a fraternity. We wiped our asses with baby wipes our entire life.
Right.
I would never use toilet paper.
Was it the Jew fraternity?
No. It was actually a Christian-oriented
Why one. Didn't you join the Jew one? I forgot what it's called. Is it Pike?
AE Pi.
Okay.
And we didn't join... I didn't join that one because I didn't even...
Okay, not important.
Yeah,
not important.
Not important.
You're wiping with baby wipes your whole life.
Wiping with baby wipes my whole life. And we met in the bathroom. Old bathroom. Old house, shitty bathroom. And we met, and there are 5 stalls. 2 don't have bathroom doors on it. And those are the ones that I elected to use, especially when I was pooping.
Because
why not?
And if a dude
just to hang out and meet new people, meet new faces. Not everyone liked it. And I had a big bag of baby wipes, and I saw when Charlie walked in, he had a big bag. And we're pledges at the time. We didn't know each other. We didn't know anyone else. So we were able to bond over that fact. And everyone thought we were weird and bizarre, and it didn't really go over too well for us at the beginning until, like you with your nephew, said, "Hey, guys, you're using the scratchy toilet paper that right when you touch it, your hand goes through. It's like cotton candy in your mouth, except for your hand touches your poopy butt."
Right.
And then within 30 days, we convinced all 50 guys in the house to start wiping with
that
baby wipes.
That analogy was at once wondrous and disgusting at the same time.
Yeah. I've never used that before. Yeah. Thank you. That was a good.
So they're on board.
That was disgusting.
So they're on board and they're like, hey, you two creepy Jews.
Right.
Fucking make this product.
Charlie is Polish and Greek.
Okay. All right.
You have to balance.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Hey, you creepy foreigners.
Right. Hey, you creepy kids, whatever.
Right.
Foreigners. Bad words. And after, I mean, within a month, we were able to convert all these people to start using wipes. They would not go in the store and buy them, though, because they were too embarrassed and they didn't even know where to find them.
Right.
So they would steal ours to start because, you know, these are the older brothers in the house or whatever. And then when we ended up joining and moving in, we educated them like, hey, everyone, you need to be doing this. You need to be using baby wipes. And then after that, and then we moved in the fraternity house and we converted people all our lives to doing it. So there are all these little like micro influential situations to use a social media of 2018 word micro influencer. And this was happening all the time, but we noticed there wasn't anything on the go. There wasn't anything designed for men. There wasn't anything cool or flushable, eco-friendly. So baby wipes aren't supposed to be flushed.
Can I tell you a fascinating story about
Please
that?
Please do, yeah. Does it involve cotton candy?
No.
Okay.
It involves me not knowing that not all baby wipes are not flushable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I had an office when I first moved to Atlanta.
Right.
And I used those things for 6 months.
Right.
And the toilet stopped working. And
Where's your office?
Well,
what township?
Well, this is what's even more interesting.
Yeah.
Way out in Powder Springs.
Okay.
And I rented from my chiropractor.
Right.
This guy who's a chiropractor. And I was like, I'm looking for office space. I noticed you got like office space for rent. Gave me a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem was, so then the guy comes, right? And he like used the magic and he pulled out and laid across the backyard of this office parking lot, like a mile of wipes.
Wow.
You know, I mean, it wasn't.
Yeah.
And...
That's disgusting.
I'm horrified and I'm just embarrassed.
Right.
And he was like, okay, listen, like, I'm not going to charge you for this, but you cannot ever, ever, ever put one of these wipes down the toilet again.
Right.
Because I just had to pay this guy like $500.
Right.
Because there's a mile of fucking wipes.
Yeah. And baby wipes, non-flushable baby wipes for the audience.
Right. And to which my wife was like, you're a fucking idiot. Because of course she knows the difference. Because we have babies.
Right. Well, she's buying, so she...
Right.
And still, a lot of parents don't know. And I think that's one of the problems, but I think
most women know.
I don't think guys bother
Guys don't bother to stop to look like this versus this.
No, not at all.
Right?
Not at all.
Because it's like when my wife gives me a shopping list and I go...
Right.
And then I get there and I'm like, fuck, there's seven of this.
Right.
I got to take the picture. Which one do you want?
And the text, and you go back and
forth,
and there are other people in there, and they bump into you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, so they're not flushable. They don't know where to get them.
Mm-hmm. They don't like them. They don't like the smell.
Right.
It's embarrassing to buy.
Right.
So there are all these hurdles, and you can't take them anywhere with you on the go.
Several hurdles.
Hurdles. Or turtles, as we like to say.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah.
Now, here's what's ironic. We're going to have this whole conversation about butts and stuff, but I am super squeamish.
Okay.
So you can't get too... Like,
I'm not gonna like wipe my butt in here.
No, but I mean, even talking about it.
Got it. Yeah.
Like I gag changing my old children's diapers.
Sure.
I can gag like, oh, right.
Yeah.
And they're my kids.
Right.
So I'm just super squeamish.
Yeah.
So just be careful.
We have other wipes too, which we could talk about.
Sure.
But in the interim, we could just exhaust.
Speaking of which, butts. Am I just noticing that the G is also a poop emoji?
I didn't see that, but I like that.
You got to be kidding me.
No.
This isn't intentional?
I didn't see the... Oh, you know what? It kind of does. So
Wait a minute.
Yeah, we like it to be... It's ambiguous, so it's whatever you interpret. And I'm very... I'm glad that you interpret it as that.
But I'm just saying...
Yeah.
Do you know that there's logos out there, and then like you learn... Like, did you know Amazon was a smile? Like, all that kind of shit?
Right.
If you're saying you didn't know... Change that to say you did, and especially like not as much there, but right there, that's a poop emoji.
Yeah, I think all we have to do is just paint the eyes on it.
But don't
brown.
Paint the eyes.
Yeah,
don't paint. The
yeah,
eyes.
Yeah. It's the ambiguity.
What did you want it to be? Just a G?
A G. It just kind of It is. It's Buddha in AG form. It just is.
You and your partner did not know that could be interpreted as a poop emoji.
We may or may not have known. I can't. That is something I can't disclose.
If you didn't, I just want to get credit.
I can give you credit for it. Yeah. I can give you credit for the poop emoji.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
And I'm really happy that you saw that.
I just saw it and then I felt dumb like, oh, it was there the whole time. But then you made me feel like maybe I invented it.
You invented it.
Okay. So.
I don't know. We convinced a lot of people to use baby wipes for certain reasons. Notice there was a gap in the marketplace based on the complaints and grievances that we got. A couple years after college, we had done this supplement franchise thing and then didn't like the direction that company was going. We said, what are the two things that
we... Were you Tim Ferriss fans?
We were... Actually, I read 4-Hour Workweek. We both read it at the same time, kind of lot like, hey, what do we want to do? And we said... Instead of having a storefront where people maybe don't come in, what if we had a product and push it out? And then we said, what are the two things, all because of Tim Ferriss's book, 4-Hour Workweek, what are the two things that we know best that we could sell? One, supplements, which we had like a 5-year non-compete if we left the company or stayed in the company. And two, we had this great success telling people and educating people on why they should be wiping their butts with baby wipes.
But Tim Ferriss also had a supplement company. That's why I said that. Not just the 4-Hour Workweek, but that he specifically made a shitload on supplements.
Yes. A shitload he did make.
Aha.
That wasn't necessarily why, but we had already been in the supplement game and stuff. So from college, we were big into working out. And there was this supplement franchise that we found out were killing it. They had amazing margins. They had really high sales tickets. They started with it's kind of like one of the first ambassador programs where they would say, hey, come in. I'll give you like two things free. You buy one. So it's an insane deal. And then you just bring in friends.
But talk about a crowded field. How do you cut through the clutter online of the supplement business?
Well, so that wasn't online. So that we started in... with the brick and mortar thing and then realize that it's very competitive in certain markets. Well, right.
You said bring friends in. So was it like brick and mortar meets like MLM kind of a thing?
No, it is. I mean, it's like it's not MLM at all. It's just like, hey, I'll hook you up if you bring your friends in.
Sounds a lot like a multi-level marketing plan.
It wasn't. I see how you're saying that and why you're thinking that. It wasn't like it was. Yeah. It wasn't directly like that. Wasn't like the purpose of it, but it was like. So they have all these. Maybe not tricks, but techniques for increasing sales tickets, and which I'm sure you know your father has talked about before of great salesmanship and upselling and different things like that. So there are a lot of different techniques that they would use.
Always be closing.
Closely related. But yeah, so it was brick and mortar, and I think a lot of those stores in different markets struggled with the fact that you could just buy supplements online anyway. So what's the purpose of necessarily going to a store, or maybe there's already GNC and Vitamin Shop saturation or all these different things. So we said, hey, based on these variables, we don't want to pursue this anymore. So we can't sell supplements. So we can't come up with a supplement line to sell on the internet. And I think, thank God, because like you said, it's very saturated market. So we said, let's try this wipe thing. Let's make them individually wrapped. Let's give them a nice cedar scent.
Did you go to China?
We did. Oh, did we physically go? No, we never went, but you've like video conference with them and stuff like that. So cedar. It's
now,
nice.
Here's what's good for you.
I can't wait to talk about some of the scents coming up with, but go ahead. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing that just hit me.
Yeah.
That, we talked about the different businesses I have. You know who really is pooping on the go a lot?
Who?
People that go to obstacle races.
Huh. Guys, I'm having an epiphany right now. This is good.
Ladies and gentlemen. The other space that I travel in, right, is the obstacle race.
Right.
So people have their bag of clothes.
Right.
Right. They have gear bags with them.
Right.
Because street races are a little different. street races, you're kind of in and out.
You
and
run, you go, blah, blah, blah. I can poop at the store next door if I really have to
probably.
Go.
Probably.
Yeah.
Obstacle race, you're in the middle of fucking nowhere. There's only the porta potties, disgusting porta potties.
Right.
May or may not have wipes in them.
Right. They may or may not have toilet paper in them, Matt.
Is that what I meant to see?
I don't know.
They definitely.
But I'm just saying in general.
That's what I meant to say. Yeah. So you travel with a couple of these.
Yeah.
Because you know that you need your pre-race poop.
Yeah.
We should talk after this.
Yeah.
Because you want to reach that market.
I do.
For sure.
I do.
And I bet there's people that I know that are probably like already using them. Anyway.
Yeah.
But yes, we should talk about
that. Yes, I love it.
Okay.
I love it.
So, let's give this wipe thing a try.
Mm-hmm.
Where does one begin? I made the joke about like going to China to look for product.
Right.
Like, where does one go for starters?
Man, this was a really tough beginning for us. We had no idea what we were doing. We hired two series of consultants, both of which cost a lot of money, but ended
Where's
up...
Where is this money coming from?
This money is coming from when we were working for this company. So we were going to franchise with them, but they hired us. They went into franchise freeze. They took us around the country. So we were on a SWAT team. So we would go into different markets.
Are you allowed to say who this is or no?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, great company, great supplements. I would still buy them today if I didn't own and operate a very small startup company. But
right.
Great supplement, Complete Nutrition. So they're a spinoff of GNC. They're based out of Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay.
My
wife just began working at the vitamin shop.
Really? Okay. Nice.
Just complete coincidence. Yeah.
I do like Vitamin Shop. They have good snacks.
I had never been inside one because I'm not a supplement buyer. So when I walked in to like visit her at work, I was like, oh, I thought this would look more like a GNC.
Right.
It doesn't.
I
assume that's on purpose.
For sure. Right. And so I still think it's a fascinating field. I loved it when I was in it. I got really obsessive and really, like, we were really into it. On all facets of the job, merchandising, that we learned a lot of great merchandising techniques, marketing, salesmanship, ingredients,
you
all
know
that
who
stuff.
Who else has good merchandising tricks and tips?
Let's hear.
Apu from The Simpsons.
That's true. Yeah. He's good. Apu is good. So their approach was different, whereas like in Vitamin Shop and GNC, especially, they're like, you're behind the desk, right? So in Complete Nutrition, they taught you like, hey, you go greet someone when they walk in and you make it more of a consultation type of situation.
Right. Convert that cocksucker.
Yep, exactly. We did not call them cocksuckers for the record. I don't know what they call them in other places. I never worked at
that. That's how
places.
I sell.
Yeah.
It's, always be closing. Get them to sign in the line that is dotted. Haven't you watched fucking Glengarry Glen Ross?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The greatest movie for salesmen ever made.
You have to watch it. But yeah, we never converted cocksuckers. We make friends.
I'm old enough that I saw that shit when it came out, right? When it came out, me and my friends saw that in the theater. Check this out. Just stay with me for a moment. On VHS, the same summer, okay, Glengarry Glen Ross and Reservoir Dogs came out. So what is that? Summer of 92?
Something like that. Reservoir Dogs is
And that's
is
all
good.
We did. We spoke in those two languages that entire summer of Reservoir Dogs and Glengarry Glen Ross.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, dude. What a great time to be alive. To be 21 years old.
Drake was maybe 17 years too late when he was saying that.
What did Drake say?
What a time to be alive.
Oh, is that a song lyric?
Yeah. Or maybe he did. I think he says it at the beginning of the song. Just the, you know, the fodder. Cannon fodder, right? Like, blah, 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 blah.
I would say.
What a time to be alive type
I would
of thing.
Say I don't know who Drake is, other than I've heard people reference him. Like, people are like, oh, here's great. Songwriters like
Matt, your kids are already listening to Drake.
No, my kids, I'm sure are. My kids are my kids listen to whatever's popular.
Right.
But like I wouldn't know Drake from, you know my grandmother used to say, you love this old Jewish phrase. I wouldn't know
Drake is Jewish, by the way, half Jewish.
Really?
Yeah.
So my grandmother would say, I wouldn't know him if he fell in my soup. So anyway.
Yeah.
Where the hell were we?
We were talking about supplements and supplement franchises and selling to friends, or some people said cocksuckers. That's not what I'd say. I mean, look, not every customer are you going to be friends with, right? But you want to. It was establishing an authentic relationship, which we really enjoyed that differentiated point. But at the end of the day, so that's where you asked where we got our money from to hire these two rounds of consultants, pay for our first round of product, all that stuff. We were blessed with the opportunity to be traveled around the country, and we had per diem, so they would pay, because we weren't stationary, and they could say, oh, you have to move here or whatever, they paid for our rent. So that helped us a lot our first year, and we didn't do anything except work, so we just saved everything, which was really nice. And then, you know, with gym memberships, we just trade them like supplements. So we found a way to kind of like coast through that year.
Nice.
So we had some money saved up, had no idea, like, oh, how long is this going to last you? How long is it going to take to manufacture? 2 months. Wrong. We started developing, we left our job, I think maybe mid-August of 2013 or 14. I honestly don't know. And then it wasn't until, we didn't get our first round of product till May of the following year.
Because it comes back wrong or?
Yeah, I mean, you get, well, so we started with reaching out to probably 20 different manufacturers, anywhere from Brazil to Canada, United States, China, Israel, Turkey, wherever. And they're just not all, like, we wanted the perfect wipe. And so we always keep iterating off of that based on feedback and what we like and what we want to see. And so we're always managing dozens of variables.
And who was in the space already when you started?
When we started, it was really just starting out. Dollar Shave Club had just launched their One Wipe Charlies.
Right.
Which excited us. We said, okay, someone else is doing
this. Just let you know, right.
Yeah. Just right.
Creating the category for you.
Yeah, exactly. And we liked it. It's like, okay, they're only online and it's great. There's press coming out. You could tell by the way the press articles were written that it wasn't like, people weren't already doing this that much. So there are people like me, people like you who started, but it hasn't spread like wildfire yet. We had a competitor on Amazon, Dude Wipes. They do pretty well right now. We looked at, you know, Dollar Shave Club. We looked at them and said, all right, we're still doing this. Like, this is not going to stop us at all. So we said, hey, let's move forward with this men's thing. We started telling everyone we knew about it. So girls came up to us and they're like, wait a second. I don't really like what's out there right now for me. Toilet paper, baby wipes, summer's eve. Like, that reminds me of my grandma's douche. So do you have something for me? So then we came out with our down there wipes. Let me grab a box just so you could understand the realness. There we go. Those are down there wipes. This actually makes up a lot of our business right now.
I'm going to describe this to the listener.
Yes.
Because the good wipes is just sort of this kind of pleasant, some light green, dare I say neonish green. Down there is a very feminine pink, but again, not old school pink.
Right.
2018 pink.
Yes.
You've got
going,
Stash and Dash singles.
Yep.
Woman in the top right corner.
Yes.
We've got a bicycle, a plane, and a tent. Because if it's three things chicks know how to do.
It's the I have to tell you right now. I ought to interrupt. We have changed out the tent for something a little bit more fun for our next round of packaging. It's going to be a martini glass.
Because
girls just want to have fun.
I'm going to cut to that song right when you say
please
that.
Please do.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I will not give Cyndi Lauper any monetization for it. When you come back and listen to this, if I forgot, because I may, immediately text me.
I'm going to text you probably right after the interview and or the podcast and say, hey, don't forget.
No.
Yeah.
Once it comes out.
Yeah.
Saying it now won't help me.
Yeah.
But once it comes out, if I forgot, you'll be one of the first to listen to it. It won't be too late for me to go back and re-upload.
Yeah.
And then new people will still catch it.
Let's do it.
I thought you were going to say, because women go out drinking and then they wake up somewhere and like, oh, man.
No.
I'm not
at my house. They may have.
I'm not at my house.
Right.
I need some wipes
because
I'm at some strange dude's house.
That could be one of the things that happened, but
we live in a very different world.
Yeah.
It's 2018.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm joking now, of course, as women are turning off the show as they hate me. But
we together in unison reiterate, girls just want to have fun.
Boom, I cut to the song again. Yeah.
So we like to do fun things like that in our package.
Well, that's the thing is that this we do live in this world, right, where the poop emoji is popular.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter's favorite emoji is the poop emoji.
My personal as well.
Okay. It really is okay to talk about dude wipes and butt wipes and like it's a thing.
Right.
Right?
It's a thing.
20 years ago, it would not have been like culturally acceptable to ever even talk about it.
Right.
So it's just interesting that, like, I don't know what that says about our society, that we're getting more liberal or like more sense of humor about ourselves? Like,
I think both. I think both. I that's just like the entire cultural trend, and I think it's not. I think brands are leading that a lot. I think there's a mix. There's brands, there's influencers, social media. People are on Twitter. Like instead of before, where you can only talk person to person, people are on Twitter and they're saying very vulgar things to each other. So it's like it kind of normalizes things like that and discussions like that. Just like it's just society shifting, but I think brands do play a big part of that.
So speaking
and timing, it's just like the way the world is working
now. Right. And so right? if you happen to be like in that, mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. then and you have a good product,
right,
right. So
and we have a great.
So
product.
I would say so. We early when we started, I said, hey, my whole game is like consistent quality content. What is like the core value or like the core thing that you and your part is it one partner or two?
One, and then we have a fantastic team.
All right, we'll get to your fantastic team. Sure. But you and your partner, what is sort of the core like phrase that you sort of like turn to look at each other and say, is this X?
Is this X? So
what is the X that you guys want to be?
Our philosophy is that brand is, especially in 2018 and moving forward, brand is a huge variable. So product innovation in and of itself, it's going to be really hard to differentiate and be meaningful to the consumer. Not saying that it can't happen, but we can come out with X product, you can come out with X product, we can come out with this wipe, you can come out with that wipe, it's a different fragrance, maybe there's a slight variation, same with snacks, same with anything. But what really stands out and matters to the consumer over a long-term basis, we think is brand and creative. So that's why we're always tweaking. I mean, the meaning of us having a martini glass may be the factor for someone that says, I'm riding with Good Wipes, I'm wiping whatever body part with Good Wipes for the rest of my life. And I like that they do this, and I like that they do that. So brand is a huge, huge thing that we always lean on. It was always very important to us.
Do you do, what do you call those things? Where you sit in a room and ask questions?
Like brainstorming? Or
focus
consumer
groups.
Oh, yeah.
Do you do those?
We do like our own form of it. A lot of times we'll just bring in like one person instead of like an entire group. We'll do online surveys. So we just had a really fun online survey that we did last week where we were asking people in our exclusive Facebook group, Facebook Labs, Good Wipes Labs, where people can submit product ideas, things of that nature. And we said, hey, what scents do you want to see next? So some that we're working on right now are for the ladies. I just have this is my favorite one, Sensual Seduction. And we're working on some different product mixes right now. I'm just really excited about that one.
Well, see, and I think that's interesting too, right. Because I think there are good consumer questions, mm-hmm. and there are bad consumer questions.
Yes.
I see it all the time in the race world, mm-hmm. when people will say like, you know, what city should we come to?
Right.
Like you're going to get 100 responses,
right.
for every city. But that doesn't mean those people were ever going to fork over a nickel for the race.
Exactly. That's a really good point.
Right?
Yeah.
And it makes me mad.
Right.
Because I'm like, you're an idiot if that's what you're going to the consumer
right.
for. Like, you need to do your own research, pick a few cities and go.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, who wants to try this? Everybody.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But if you want to get specific, like, okay, like if they're in that group, first of all, they're already probably buying your products. Mm-hmm. So you've got a decent lead.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. It's a very tricky line. There are people in large companies that do nothing but ask questions, figure out what are the best survey responses and how to go about these.
And do people tell the truth?
And do people tell the truth? Right. And I think having that barrier up where you're not in face to face. So we've done some face to face and we've done some online stuff. And I think the mindset when they're doing it online is like there's a little bit of, how do you say the word, onomatopoeia, where they feel anonymous. I just can't pronounce the word. I was watching the spelling bee last night, and I was like, I can't hang on stage with these kids. But
were you watching the one about the five-year-old, the youngest girl?
Anonymity. Anonymity is the word.
But
so they feel like, I can say whatever I want.
But were you watching the thing about the youngest girl to ever qualify for the spelling bee?
No, I didn't see that part.
It's an E60 segment.
Wow.
Do you watch E60?
From time to time when it's
okay.
on.
Okay.
So
there's a segment about a five-year-old girl who qualified, or seven-year-old, whatever.
Yeah.
Anonymity.
Right. And so I think that plays into it, and they feel comfortable saying like, ew, no way. And if they leave comments or like, no, I don't want to do that. So I think it allows them to kind of freeze them up. Whereas in person, especially if it's someone in the building we know that's a friend, will that person say like, dude, this fucking sucks.
I'm not sticking that up my vag.
Right, exactly. So I think that the online survey allows for that. Then just giving like, there are just different processes. Like internally, we come up with some of the ideas. I think there's not one right way to do it, especially in a startup. We don't have resources to do these extremely formal consumer
right. And if your two partners are dudes, you guys might not have the best ideas.
That's why we
about women stuff.
Exactly. So, and I find that. So I was pushing peach and passion fruit so hard. I'm like, guys, I just know it. It smells good. They do smell good. And the feedback was just not. It's not what I wanted. But sensual seduction, they want it.
So, are you selling more of the women's now?
We are. That's what. In retail, that's just kind of like the climate and where we're going after right now.
But isn't that interesting?
It is.
That you're solving this male problem.
Right.
But men still don't want the problem solved because they're dumb. Or lazy.
I think we kind of got sucked into, I mean, people wanted that. We had retail buyers saying like, hey, Summer's Eve, I don't think is relating to a consumer that you can relate to, which would be maybe Gen Y, Gen Z, millennial.
Taking one out, by the way.
Please do.
Smell one of these.
And
my wife will also.
Yes. Oh, I have to. I got to get you the Shea Coco. The lavender is good. Shea Coco. I don't think we have any boxes of that, but Shea Coco is great. Right. It's brilliant.
I want to open. Hang on. Yeah. Put this mic down. I like the. Oh, that is good.
It's good. It's like it's great.
Like you could eat it.
So
far, I like this and the
cedar.
And the cedar the best. Mm-hmm. I'm not the women's one.
I'll ask
if my wife likes the women's one.
The lavender is
distributed by the Gaijin Group.
The Gaijin Group.
So that's your parent company?
That it's our first DBA. So when we started, it was Peter Marcus Paradigm LLC. That's our parent group, right? Then we said we're just going to do men's products, the Gaijin Group. Then we decided we're going to bring in female products. So then we're like, all right, it's just good wipes. Crafted with soul in Atlanta, Georgia.
Why do I see that everywhere?
Right here.
Peter.
I would be Marcus, but we did the middle name thing.
You're Sam.
Sophisticated. Yeah, I'm thinking of changing my name to Marcus or DeMarcus. My middle name is Marcus.
Why would you change your name to Marcus or DeMarcus?
Our new intern is experimenting with a name change, and his middle name is badass. His name is Alex Carlton Miller. Great. Look him up on YouTube. He's a phenomenal content creator. And we're really lucky to have him this summer. And he's going by Carlton. And he's the best Carlton I've ever seen. And I got jealous and I want to be Marcus for the summer.
Okay.
So I'm going for that.
Okay.
Yeah. So you could at me at Goodwife Sam Marcus. I play up Marcus big time.
Right.
But Carlton inspired
me. So tell people what Made with Soul in Atlanta is about.
Made with Soul in Atlanta, it's definitely a Switchyards thing.
Right.
Where have you seen the window outside?
I just walked by it.
Okay.
So
I'm not necessarily going to be the best one to talk about it when you interview Tavani and Dave, which I'm sure your audience is familiar with them and their product, Scout Mob.
You've got to get the interview. You've got to make that intro.
I will. They are tough to get a hold of, but I will get them to you. I will get you to them. You're going to like them. You're going to like them.
Tell them that King of Pops came on because that's like a name that people respect.
They're good friends with them.
They're like, King of Pops came on.
Yeah. I think you have, it's not just one episode. You have dozens of episodes.
I know, hundreds. But I was trying to think of the first name that jumped out.
Right.
Like,
They're friends. So
like, I don't say that to everybody. To I might mention a different episode.
Right.
But I'm saying for that one.
Like, yeah, they've presented here a couple times. They actually have like quarterly meetings here and stuff. But Made with Soul in Atlanta. So what Tavani and Dave have built here, it's a business to consumer hub in Atlanta. And their ethos and hypothesis is that brands are very important and that soul is very important. And we've bought into that. And so we borrowed the soul piece and said, hey, we have soul. We're hustlers more than anything. Like, we hustle more than we know exactly what we're doing here because we don't have experience.
Right.
So this,
I would always take that over experience, by the way, any day.
Thank you.
Right.
Yeah.
That's where it's at.
I would. I mean, it's all I have.
I have been making shit up since whenever I started my first business in 2000 and whatever.
A lot of people are imposter syndrome. And I don't think we're imposters, by the way, I think, but that's what a lot of people call it.
Well, I mean, I think
learn as you go.
I think the phrase "fake it till you make it" is applicable. Imposter syndrome is just when you're afraid they're going to find out. You
right, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah, but I'm not. I'm like the Eminem song. I'm not afraid.
Right.
To take a stance.
Right.
I don't know the rest of it.
You just sent white guys back like 10 years. Yeah. That was horrible.
Yeah.
Now I know how my kids feel. When I sing loudly in public, uh-huh. my kids are like, "Dad, please stop embarrassing us."
But it's not going to stop us.
No, it's not.
We can't.
No, we can't stop. You can only hope to contain us.
Yeah.
So we're all over the damn place. So we were talking about how you
women buy a lot of
right
products,
but women buy
men do are men really being drawn to it? The answer is yes on right. Amazon. That's where I mean, most of our men.
I'm sure you've heard the phrase like "men buy, women shop," right? You know that?
That's true. That's true. I've heard that. I don't know if I could fully agree with that.
I would.
That there could be some truth to that.
I don't. Why would you say there could be some truth?
Well, could you elaborate a little bit more on what you mean, what the context and content behind?
So there's
that is?
There's a joke that a guy used to do about how like a guy is like, "I'm cold."
Mm-hmm.
I go in the store, I buy a coat. I'm not cold anymore. Mm. Shopping day is over.
Right.
Right?
Right.
That's not a woman's experience.
Right. Correct.
Do you understand?
Yes.
She's going to shop.
Right.
She's going to compare prices.
I get it. I get it.
She's going to compare prices.
Yeah.
She might go to 4 different stores.
Right.
She might take one back.
Right.
Right? This concept of taking shit back, I literally didn't know was a thing.
Right.
Until I was like hanging out with one of my sisters. It's
I would never
And
do
I was
that.
Like, what?
You know, some people... Like
you've had this
it,
thing for
like,
a month and now you're taking it back. Well, yeah, of course. She had like 7 things and they were all going back.
Yeah.
I'm like, is it broken? Like, if I buy a watch and it doesn't work, I'll try to get a new one. But so that's what I meant. It wasn't a judgment
of
better or greater
yeah.
or worse than the other person.
I think what's funny is my favorite is when people buy fruit at the grocery store and it's like mess. Like if you buy $4
you can't take
raspberry.
That back.
You absolutely can. You're allowed to. I would never do it. The effort of going back to the grocery store. It's disgusting.
Now, here's things I've ever taken back. Mm-hmm. Okay. Things I've ever taken back. Super tight on cash.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I like cleaned out my like little garage. I had like a little, one of those little, like you buy a pre-made thing.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call it? A little storage thing?
Like, something like this or this?
No, like it's like a pre-made. It's got doors.
Refrigerator. I don't know. I don't know.
Refrigerator.
I don't know. I'm not your guy for that stuff.
Imagine you had a house,
uh-huh.
and in the backyard you had a smaller thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a house.
Oh, the little shed thing.
Shed.
God, okay.
That's the
okay.
fucking word.
Okay. Yeah.
So one time when I was super broke,
I'm more of a refrigerator guy.
One time I was super broke, and I went into the shed, and I was like, okay. Here's a 10 things that I never used,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I bought like 6 different plant fertilizers
right.
and I never actually used 2 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's the one time I brought a bunch of stuff back and I was like, hey man, can I get cash for this?
Because right.
I'm broke.
Yeah.
And like up to a certain point, they can scan the card and see that you bought it there
because right.
I clearly didn't have the receipt anymore. I was making an example like that's what it would take for me to actually bring something back.
Right. That's – I honestly think that's it. But like – a cup of fucking strawberries.
But I'm talking about several pieces of clothing.
Yeah. I don't know if I would do that either. I don't think I have. I have one shirt in my car that I was going to take back to Urban Outfitters because I got the wrong size and I still haven't done it yet. I mean, it's not in my DNA. But I understand, I guess, some people find
the
need.
What was the fucking core value or the core thing? The brand. What did you say brand is?
Brand is the variable. Brand is the variable.
So it doesn't matter what product you put out.
Like, it has to be good. And it has to solve a problem still.
Right. But I'm saying
right.
underneath all of that is this thing about...
brand and soul and authenticity. It's all wrapped up in a brand.
Right. Now, that's what everybody is saying in 2018. So how do you do that better than anyone, rise above, et cetera, et cetera?
Right. Building community, which everyone also is saying. But I think it's really just executing on it instead of just talking about it, which when we started, or a couple years ago, we said, hey, we're building this brand, we're building this community. And one of our mentors, we had that in an investor deck, building community. And they said, how are you doing this? And we said, that's a great question. We haven't done that yet.
Right.
This is what we're about to do.
Right.
But we found these little tricks along the way to develop relationships with our consumers. One, I can give you an example if you want, is we put a little card in here that says, email us if you want you know, a free box or blah, 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 something like that. So we have people write, we have get probably 20 to 50 emails a day, which adds up to thousands over a couple months of people saying why they like Good Wipes, why they use Good Wipes, things of that nature. And it gives us that direct like line of communication with them. So that is a exact example, accurate example of building
can
community, right?
Can you help
right?
me do that?
Mm-hmm. I can offer whatever the problem is. I can give you an answer. I don't know if I could solve.
Well,
but
let's just have some real talk. So first of all, this battery is about to die.
Okay.
So we might have to change it in a minute.
Okay.
But this is like a real talk thing.
Yeah.
I have a podcast.
Right.
The reason people enjoy a podcast is it a very passive medium.
Mm-hmm.
They can listen while they work out, run,
poop,
drive, poop.
Yep.
Do the laundry.
Yep.
Whatever.
Yeah.
That's why they enjoy the podcast.
Right.
Podcast host comes on and says, leave me a review.
Yep.
Go on and buy this thing.
Yep.
And they are not stopping to do what they're doing.
Right.
To do that.
Right.
Tiny percentage do.
Right.
Okay. And here's what I found out about that tiny percentage.
Mm-hmm.
They're loyal as fuck.
Right.
So you want that, right? You want that like loyal as fuck, but how do you grow that? Because they don't like, dude, don't make me, I'm enjoying you in my car.
Right.
Don't make me stop. Find the fucking button where I leave a review. Do you see what I'm saying?
No, I do. And I actually, as a listener of podcasts, have had, as I was talking about before, I don't know if we were on or not, but iTunes, I it's impossible to use it. I've tried to leave reviews for people, and like they won't accept it or something. And I'm like, oh, I cannot type that thing over again. I've learned my lesson. I now do it in notes before, in case that ever happens again. But I think giving is the best way to do that. So one podcast I listen to, Mind Pump, they have millions of downloads.
My wife's a fan of Mind Pump.
Oh, really? I love Mind Pump. I talk to them sometimes. They're badass.
You talk to them sometimes?
Sometimes, yeah.
But
I texted with them before. So we almost like sponsored something before they really blew up. And they
now it's too expensive for you?
Oh, there's no way, yeah.
Can you afford anybody's podcast? And I wasn't talking about me, but I will ask you about me.
Yeah.
But that is a great...
Not we talk to people and we're just like, hey, when we can and when we focus on more like building up goodwipes.com, because I think that's when it really matters the most. Like, hey, here's a discount code type of thing, right?
Well, it's a specific ROI that we can talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not the be all end all.
So it's for us right now, I don't think it's the smartest move.
Right.
Nor are we in the position.
Right, but back to answer my question.
Sure. I think if you say I'm going to give a T-shirt or the ticket to an obstacle course, like that would be, I think, a great one. And I'm sure you feel like you've probably already done that. Like,
no, actually, I mean, there's the whole
cause like, hey, I'll pay for two people or one person to do this race or something like that, and give you something like that.
I know there's the whole like people do like the hey, let's do some giveaway, and it boosts likes and all that.
Sure,
but I've also heard that's not a long term thing. That's just a sure, you'll get some likes because people want to win a free thing.
So on Instagram, we had done that for a while. It worked for a while, and then we're like, all right, this is it started feeling almost inauthentic. And when you see it all the time, it's like giveaway time, but
right.
But more than I think when you if it's from your podcast and it's like I do something for you, you do something for me, it's not this like phony partnership or phony seeming partnership or whatever. I think if it's authentic, then I think it could work. And you have to try different things.
I think I'm gonna try it.
Yeah,
and if I give a free race away, I think we'll get a lot because races are not cheap.
Yeah, so that is a potential idea. I think people like T-shirts. I think Mind Pump, and then you listen at the beginning of the show, they say, oh, how many T-shirts are we giving away? And they're like, oh, we did 10, or sometimes they're like 3, and they're like, 3? How the hell do we only do 3? Stuff like that. So
right.
They are a great podcast, though. Great podcast.
I should start listening, because my wife has recommended
the best.
Other people have recommended
it. They're so good. They're funny.
I want to get them on my show, on the Obstacle Show.
They do that. They'll post on their individual social medias like, hey, do you want us on a podcast?
Right.
And they'll call in, and I don't think they usually don't fly.
No. I wouldn't expect them to fly.
Yeah.
I mean, for Atlanta,
but they do that.
Atlanta's
yeah.
always in person.
Right.
The obstacle thing, I do Skype all the time.
Right. They're great. You should. I think you'd like them.
Okay.
And they. I think they've done some obstacle course people.
No, I know they before. Have. Yeah. They've had. Well, there's a couple of big names.
Right.
That like. So there's a woman, Amelia. Like people always get.
Amelia Boone. Yeah.
Amelia Boone.
I follow her. I don't even. I mean, I'm not even in that realm.
She's
yet.
Totally one of my bros.
I heard she is.
I can show you a long text feed we've been had for
really?
5 years. Yeah.
I am inspired by her, even though I haven't even listened to any of the episodes she's been on with. Tim, like, even just reading the bio, I'm like, I love her.
She's kind of a badass.
Yeah.
She is definitely a badass.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome.
All right. I think we should do
battery change.
I think we should do the battery change and then do the Atlanta podcast quiz, which you haven't even heard because you haven't listened to a recent episode.
That's correct.
All right. Hang on.
All right.
All right.
All righty.
Atlanta podcast quiz.
Atlanta podcast quiz. Hit me.
What is your go-to meal at the Waffle House?
I get the Philly cheesesteak omelet and coffee and ice water. And if it's later in the day, instead of coffee, I'll do unsweetened iced tea, and then I put Splenda in it.
I've never had that at the Waffle House. That's the first order.
And I put ketchup on it.
That's the first order that I've never had at the Waffle House. What is your favorite restaurant in Atlanta?
Favorite restaurant in Atlanta? I enjoy, I forget the name. There's a Bangladeshi restaurant.
Hang on.
Here we go. Favorite restaurant. One of my favorite restaurants is a Bangladeshi restaurant out towards Buford Highway, more kind of like Brookhaven on the way to Buford Highway. I forget the name of it. And then, and that may be called Panahar. And then there's another one. One of them is Panahar and one of them sounds like Panahar. And then there's a Thai restaurant in Virginia Highlands and I can't tell anyone about it.
It's okay.
I'm holding back.
It's okay.
I'm just kidding. It's in a hut. And they serve the meal in like a fruit bowl, and it's like this married couple. It's so awesome. No, not that one. That one's good. All the Thai restaurants. I mean, there's so much good food in Atlanta.
There is a lot of good food.
A lot of good food.
Rank these in importance to you.
Okay.
Falcons, Hawks, United, Braves.
I don't care as much as most people about any of that. I'm just like rooting for the city. Have not been to too many. I would say Hawks because I like basketball the best. They're terrible. So it's like, it's not even fun to watch. It's really not fun to watch. I went to a game when they played the Wizards earlier this year and it was a snooze fest. Hawks, Falcons, United. No, I would say Hawks, United, even though I haven't gone to a game yet. Falcons, Braves.
Okay.
More of a food guy.
Finish the sentence. Yep. Finish the sentence.
Mm-hmm.
I take Marta blank.
Haven't for 2 years. Oh, I did it. Actually, I did it this year, and I got off on the wrong exit, and I didn't like where I got off, and it was a huge pain in the ass to get back to the office in the morning. This is when I had an early morning flight from somewhere back to Atlanta, and then I came into the office and I had a terrible experience getting off in the wrong exit, so I probably won't take it for a while.
That's the longest answer yet to that question.
I'm good at long answers.
What's your favorite festival in Atlanta?
I went to Sweetwater Fest, 420 Sweetwater Fest. Only saw one band, but I had a blast because I was able to talk and also jam out at the same time. So I would say that. But I need to go to some more of the food ones, though, because Wine Fest was fun. The old Fourth Ward Wine Fest was so fun.
I meant to ask you, because we had touched on the social media thing. Mm-hmm. Do you go to social media conferences? Do you like kind of roll in that world at all to try to learn?
I'm always looking for them, and I always want to go.
And then you never do?
And then I never do. Based on time or
we just had one, and I wish I had talked to you sooner because I would have gone with you, because I ended up not even going because my schedule got turned around. It's called the Social Shakeup, and my schedule got turned around that week because my wife had just got back to work, and I kind of never. I was like, oh, I'll go. And if you and I had talked, to be like, hey man, I'm gonna go tonight. Let's go see these three guys. Yeah. So I'll keep my eye out for you.
Please do. I will say, actually, a couple weeks ago, I went to one. It, not necessarily like a social shakeup. It was at MoDA, Museum of Design Atlanta.
Right.
And the chief creative officer for Chobani did a talk for an hour.
Nice.
Because they just did a huge rebrand. He's going on tour. And I think he wrote a book. I don't know. Badass.
Why are they rebranding?
Glad.
Everybody loves Chobani already. What's the rebrand?
They took them from 100 to 1,000. It's so badass.
100 to 1,000?
100 to 1,000. A scale of 1 to 100. They were already out of 100, right?
Oh.
And they went from 100
to 1,000.
Yeah. Oh, and revenue, they're like $1.5 billion.
Right.
He has 66 people working under him, and he said he can't be in a room because it'll influence the way that people talk about. It'll influence people's just ideas of this guy is so brilliant. I don't remember his name.
But that's the other reason to like bro hang.
Yeah.
Because that kind of stuff happens.
Right. And I could tell you what, and I could say, I don't remember exactly what he said.
No, but I'm saying, you text me and go, dude, I'm going to this thing today. Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like my buddy a couple years ago, that happened where there was a thing, I think it was Chick-fil-A sponsor.
Uh-huh.
And it was a little cheesy in that it was basically like 5 minutes with these people.
Right.
So like Coach K spoke, a couple other people spoke, but it was like pretty quick. Like
right.
They were flying them in and out. But even that was cool to go to.
Right.
Because whatever Coach K said, I liked.
Right, right, right.
Right.
That's the thing when you bring like the really awesome people in for a couple, like if you already love them, they could say like, hey, I fucking hate you. And you're like, man, I love
right.
Coach
K. But I'd much rather go to a smaller, sit in the room with the Chobani guy than sit in the stadium and see Coach K talk for 5 minutes.
It was, I'm so glad I
went. But I'm saying my buddy that morning was like, hey, I'm going to this joint.
Yeah, and so you wouldn't know about it unless,
I'm saying we can become those kind of friends.
100%.
All right, last question.
1,000%, yes.
Who should I have next in the Atlanta podcast?
I think Michael Tavani.
Okay.
From founder of Scout Mob, founder of Switch Yards would be a phenomenal guest.
Right. I would, and you know what? I can tell about my whole first Scout Mob experience because it was prior to Groupon.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they launched first, but specifically the girl in my office, millennial who worked in my office, said, I'm going to get this pizza thing and there's like 9 of them left. Go get it.
Right.
And like, that was my Scout Mob experience.
Scout Mob. They love it. The kids love it. Tavani's great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's make that happen. All right. Peace out, dude.
All right. Woo!
Alrighty, that was Sam. Hope you enjoyed it. Glad to bring it to you. Guys, I got so much in the can. I don't know if I told you this, but I've got so much in the can that I'm actually putting a hiatus on interviews. I'm not doing any interviews for like 2 months just so I can catch up on all this awesome stuff. God damn it, wind, stop blowing. I'm sitting here on my porch and this breeze is awesome. However, it hadn't blown before. Now it's blowing while I'm talking. And I have a windscreen, but how well can it do? There's the UPS man. Do I have a package today? Ah, no. God damn it. All right. Check out. Go leave us a review on iTunes. Go donate a few bucks. Most importantly, come to the live show September 20th. Live show. Joystick. Click it. Link it. Gotta run.